let's get started here. I know it's Father's Day, and as you can tell by my advertisement, I am a father. I'm a father of 8 wonderful kids, 7 girls and 1 boy. My boy's in Colorado, so he can't be here with us, and my other oldest daughter is in Virginia Beach, and I don't know whether she's going to be here today or not, but she's with her husband and his father, and they live in Chesapeake. So when Don asked me to talk about being a father, you know, fear just struck me. It's just like, you know, not that I'm not used to speaking in front of people with a microphone. I can tell you probably Garth has done it. We speak in front of, when we were active duty, we would speak in front of troops. And normally we wouldn't have to be prompted by notes and all this and all this. We just spoke right from our heart, and we spoke to the people. So when he told me to do this, my answer back to him, I said, 51% of me says yes. The other 49, I haven't been convinced yet. So that Sunday, he came up to me and said, so that's greater than 51%. I said, yeah, I'll do it. So I hope you can indulge me in wearing my hat, too, because, you know, God didn't bless me with hair. He figured too much hair. So he figured he could count all the hairs on my head. So I just wear a hat so I can make it harder for him. So So, Father's Day, yeah. You know, today, as you know, everybody recognizes this day as Father's Day. There's probably fathers out right now having breakfast with their family, with their kids, and all that. And we recognize fathers one day of the year, and sometimes that's hard for fathers to take, because sometimes fathers don't feel they have earned that recognition, but yet we give it to them. And a little bit of background history on Father's Day, from what I could get off the internet, because the internet, it's all, you know, everything is truthful and it's all up to date. Now, this is what I found out about Father's Day. The first observance of Father's Day is believed to have been held July the 5th in 1908 at the Central United Methodist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia. Now, that's all I found out about that. But what I did find out, the more traditional version of how Father's Day started, was there was this lady named Sonora Dodd of Washington State. She had the idea of recognizing Father when she heard a sermon on Mother's Day in the year of 1909. She wanted a special day to honor her father, which his name was William Smart. And let me read a little bit about him. Smart, who was a Civil War veteran, was widowed when his wife died while giving birth to their sixth child. Mr. Smart was left to raise the newborn and his other 5 children by himself on a rural farm in eastern Washington State. And after Sonora became an adult, she realized the selflessness her father had shown in raising his children as a single parent. It was her father that made all the parental sacrifices, and it was, in the eyes of his daughter, a courageous, selfless, and loving man. Sonora's father was born in June, so she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, on the 19th of June in 1910. And then, from what I got, in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. So that's how we come up with recognizing fathers. I don't know who came up with recognizing mothers, but it was already an established observance, so I don't have much to say on that. Being a father, it was hard for me because I want to tell you a little bit about my background as being a son to a father. You know, there's a lot of things that, and I really can't, you know, what I'm about to say, it's probably going to be hard for me to say because, you know, I'm the one that experienced it. And I don't know whether your experience with your father was different. Probably was. I mean, all fathers' experience are not the same. Only on certain things like your birthday and stuff like that, we celebrate birthdays. But, you know, father, a father to me, my father to me was not all that enjoyable. And I do remember some of the enjoyable times. That's when I was little, real small. I remember picnics with other families and stuff like that, going to the beach. But then it appears something may have happened to my father. I have no idea. And I started noticing an isolation, you know, a drawing into himself and not really showing any fatherly love like what I would have expected, like I tried to show my girls. And so the things that I remember about my father are not pleasing, you know. I mean, the things that I remember the one time that he got so upset at me, he beat me with the belt. And I remember the welts. I mean, I remember the welts on my body, so that's one thing. I remember things about him that were not always bad, but they were not the type of things that you would expect that from a father. So by the time I was in high school, my last year in high school, the last thing I remember, and I'm certain it came from my father, but my mother told me was, when you graduate, you have to leave. So what do? I've got 1 year left before I have to leave. I got to get out of the house. Why, I don't know. All my other brothers and sisters stayed until they left. But I joined the Navy, and I think that was the greatest thing for me because, I mean, 30 years later, I retired as a Master Chief, and I met my wife. We've been married for 33 years, and I have 8 children. So well, it'll be 33 in July. July the 7th, it'll be 33. thank you. But when I came into the Navy, I guess I was primed for someone to come up to me and say, you know, someone really loves you. And that happened when I was in the Navy, and that was the first time someone actually said that there's someone that really loves you, really, truly loves you. Because I had never heard that from my father. To tell you the truth, I really never heard. He had never had said that, and you know, that I can remember. You know, even when I would call home, and I'd call quite a few times, and I would want to talk to him, but he would get on the phone, and he said, hello, hey, how you doing? And one quick sentence, that was it. Then the next thing out of his mouth would be, you want to talk to your mother. And normally I would talk to my mother for the next 10, 15 minutes. But never with my father, and I never could understand it. And the sad thing was that it led to really not a lot of communication, up to the point where this last year my father died. Excuse me. So I think I had the opportunity to tell him I loved him because we had visited the year before, and we had him over a beach condo that we had rented. And so they came over, my father and my mother, and we spent time with them. Again, he wasn't very talkative. Of course, he was very old. And so he passed away this last year, and, you know, we were there. We said, you know, go ahead and remove life support. And they put him in hospice care. And, you know how you want to be there when your father just passes away? Well, I don't know. Irony, I don't know. We were there. We had been sitting there for hours. And then we went to lunch. And when we went to lunch, I got the phone call from my brother. He just passed away. So I even missed him when he passes away. So I don't know. But that has been my life from the very beginning. When someone told me that someone truly, really loves you, I had to depend on another father. And that's what I really want to talk about today, is the true Father that we have that will never leave us or forsake us. And I'm going to be like Eleanor Mumford. I saw her, and she read her notes. She didn't memorize them, because I couldn't memorize all this stuff and try and be as dramatic as some of these, you know, talkers do when they're in front of people. So how does God love us like a true father? You know, there are many scriptures in the Bible that describes the love of God. In fact, the entire Bible is about the love of God for his people and for all mankind. And I just want to share some scriptures, because if I share scriptures, I know I won't get it wrong. And I won't say something that is false. So if I just quote scriptures and just say a few things, I know it'll be good. But for one thing, again, our Father is love. He's the embodiment of love. Love is the very essence of his being. So that's it. That is something that I, when I hear those words, I can't fathom that. Because I try to love my children as best I can. But the essence of his being, and that's what I truly seek to and strive for. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Love comes from our Father. Our Father created love. Love is a divine attribute or characteristic of our Father. The essence of our Father's nature and of a godly nature is love. Love is more than a feeling. The love of our Father is our way of being. In 1 John 4:7, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So these are the scriptures that we're always, that I always would have to turn to, because of that emptiness that I had in growing up and not really knowing a love from a father that I hardly knew or could ever hardly communicate with. The next item here, the love of our Father is inclusive and unconditional, which was what I needed. God loves every person in the world. He sacrificed his only son so that whoever believes in him would not face eternal damnation, which would be an eternity separated from God, but be an eternity with him. And the three scriptures I have here is in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were all still sinners, Christ died for us. And again in the famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So those are the scriptures that I know we all look towards whenever we feel like we've fallen short, that he is a God that's inclusive and unconditional. Anything that you do, he's seen it all, he hears it all, and he knows it all. So that is one thing that I learned when I first came to the Lord. The love of our Father is empowering. Jesus died so that we might live life in this world through him. To live life through the Father, who is love, is to live a life of love. And in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And that was a new thing for me too, because I had heard of the Holy Ghost. Being raised Catholic, I knew of the Holy Ghost and all this and all this, but I never knew that the Holy Ghost would come into my being and be my comforter and be my encourager and be my just everything, that whenever I was down or out, the Holy Spirit would be there for me through the Lord Jesus. So in 1 John 3:3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, I don't know what y'all think about being called a son of God. I don't know. It just doesn't pop into my mind every day that I am a son of God. But when I read it, I am just astonished that way back then, when this letter was written, or when this book was written, 1 John, that it would affect people today. It would affect me, that I could be called a son of God. So, you know, it was not that I was the son of my father's name, Isaac. I was the son of the living God. And so it was a healing. It was just trying to understand that. It's just like trying to understand why there's air that we breathe, that we live, but that to be called the sons of God is something unique and special. And the love of the Father always reproduces itself through everyone he loves. And I know that it's hard to love. It is hard to love. Sometimes I hear people, especially when it comes to issues in life like politics and end times and all that, all of a sudden that love seems to fall away, fade away. And we turn to this thing called anger and rage and hatred towards people that, from what I was reading when I was a lot younger, that God loved me, but he also loved everyone else. So, and if he loved me and he was in me and I was to be love, then how could things like that sometimes would come out of my mouth? So that is the things that we need to watch what we say and what we do, especially since we're ambassadors for Christ. We hope that we bring hope to a hurting world. We don't bring hope to a hurting world when we, you know, when we're accusers of some of the people that are in this world. So the love of the Father reproduces itself through everyone that he loves. And I hope that it reproduces more and more in myself. And I hope in y'all and everyone else here too. The life and love of our Father is manifested in our lives through his Holy Spirit, who takes up residence in our heart the moment we first believe. And that, I just went on that's the love that he's our comforter. So whenever we're in doubt, whenever we're in pain, like I was a lot, I would have to go to him and just be comforted, because, you know, as men we're supposed to be tough, so we can't go to another man and, you know, be comforted. And if we're not married, you know, it's sometimes hard to even go to your wife to be comforted, because you know the world considers us, you know, men, we're supposed to be strong. We can't be weak. We can't show any emotion. We have to be, you know, the people that, or we have to be the person that everyone looks up to, especially our family. So we don't try and show any signs of weakness. And I think that's not always good. We want to be there for them. We want to be there for our family, for our wives, for our kids, and be the courageous, strong father. But sometimes, who do we turn to? As men, as fathers, we have to turn to someone, and that's, to me, is the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which is given to everyone when they first believe. So the next few scriptures that I'm going to quote, I really like them, because when I was pulling them up, it just reinforces the Father's love for us. It reinforces the Father's love, particularly towards me. Because, you know, I am not perfect. I know some of y'all do believe that, but I am not. but yeah, no comments in the back. Okay, in Psalms, and like I said, the Old Testament really has, you know, scripture that when you read it, you know that a lot of people think that the Old Testament God was a different God. He was not the God of love. He was the God of this war, and he was destroying this and that and the other thing, and so on and so forth. But let me read you a few things, especially. We'll start off with Psalms 36:5. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven, and your faithfulness to the skies. Psalms 36:7. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalms 48:9. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Now, wouldn't that be neat? You know, you go to a temple, you go to a place, oh, right here, and you just meditate on his unfailing love. I don't know. I don't do that. I just don't meditate. I think about it, but I just don't meditate. And I think people, we understand what meditating is. It's just to sit there and just think. And I don't know. These guys that do this meditation type thing, I don't know how they do it, but meditating on his unfailing love, I just find that as something that they did in the Old Testament, which, you know, I kind of like that. I think we get away from things like that because we don't want to do it. We think it's not important. We think it's easy. You know, we just pray a prayer and that's it. But I think we need to meditate more on his unfailing love. Because I think sometimes we do believe that he sometimes just doesn't love us because of what we've done and about our past. Psalms 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. You got to remember that. Slow to anger. Abounding in love and faithfulness. Love and faithfulness. That's, we do know he always is. Psalms 136:26, give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now that is encouraging words. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And this last one, I really like a lot, and it's in Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And neither will all this other stuff that you hear about every day, that people tend to just panic. Like, May the 21st, now it's going to be October 21st, and we're all going to do something. But people fear. You know, fear is not of God. I mean, there's no fear. If he comes October 21st, there's no fear. You don't need to give up your money. It's going to stay behind. But people just, and then when it doesn't happen, then they're all upset. and they're all, you know, what happened. I would never, you know, that type of fear is not of God, you know, to get everybody all up in a tizzy about when he's to return. I hope he returns today. I mean, it'd be great. We don't have to worry about anything else. It'd be just a really great old time. And, you know, okay, we have 2.5 wars, and yes, people die. But then, you know, that, don't fear that. Don't fear terrorists. Terrorists are there. They'll always be there. They've always been around. Evil people have always been around. Do not fear them. Actually, we're to love them. We're to love these people as he has loved us. And how do you do that? Well, the only answer I got is you pray for them and you love them. And if you ever meet them, please show compassion for them. That is one word I love. I always tell my wife, I says, well, sometimes you got to trust people and you got to have compassion for them. And I've learned that more and more in this job that I have now. I'm a person that delivers medical equipment to Medicare recipients. And I have seen places, I've been in homes that I know there's not a lot of love. There's pretty much abandonment because there's no one there. And I see these people and, you know, in their final years of life, and there's no one there, and no one there. And so when he says the fields are ripe, I mean, they are ripe, and they're really close by. There's no need to go to other countries. People are here, and they need the love that the Father has given to us. We need to love on them, just like the youth do. They go down there, and they love on these people, and these people love them back. And that's all it takes. It doesn't take carrying a Bible and reading through them, but they love that. But more and more, I sometimes walk into these homes, and the only thing they got on is those judge programs, you know, where the court cases where it's comical half the time what's going on. But, yeah, these people that we have in our own midst, they need the love that we have that God has given us. And a couple of things I want to share with you. Two of them is from my wife. She wrote, I asked her, when Don told me to give the message today, I told my wife, before I told her I was going to do this, I said, you know, can you write something down about what a father means to you? And finally she gave it to me, and that's, well, somebody else, you know, let the cat out of the bag and told her before I got a chance to. So the next thing here is what she wrote about what a father is to me. And I was encouraged because she mentioned me in this thing. Because when she gave it to me, I only read the first paragraph and part of the second paragraph. And then I finally got to read it right when I was preparing this. And I said, whoa. Ah, pressure now. Okay. What a father is to me. Thinking about the word father brings me down a road with many fond memories of my own father. Now, when I read this to you, that's a totally different extreme. What she experienced with her father is something that I never experienced with mine. So that's why I think when God puts people together, I think it's to help each other, to mend each other. Thinking about the word father brings me down a road with many fond memories of my own father. I know that I'm one of the lucky few to have had the privilege of growing up with a really great dad who modeled integrity, service, sacrifice, humility. He was always teaching something new to this very inquisitive girl and always training me to choose right instead of wrong. My dad served 20 years in the Marine Corps with 2 tours of duty in Vietnam. Though he witnessed things that no human should ever have to witness, he never wavered in his commitment to us. He was highly disciplined, honest, loyal, hardworking, and thoroughly instilled in me those values which remain deeply rooted in the core of my being to this day. He believed in me and cheered me on when I didn't have confidence. He was also my guardian in the truest sense of the word. I knew that he would protect me from everything and everyone. I never felt afraid of danger when he was near. It has been, now here's where it gets to me. It has been said that a girl will be attracted to a man who is like her father. From my experience, that is a true saying. Some of the things I value most about what my father modeled for me are the very things that attracted me to the man I married. My husband of nearly 32 years, which will be 33. It will be 33, won't it? It's like my dad in so many ways. Humbly giving himself for our children and for me. He is honest, noble, and has integrity. He seeks truth in every situation and is an amazing and wise counselor. Through the many challenges our family has faced, he has remained steadfast in leading us, compassionate, faithful, and a true guardian. He is a present figure in the lives of our children and is respected by them and by me. Our son, though not yet a father, already possesses the great father qualities that has been modeled for him. Our daughters are growing up to be very confident young ladies and are choosing husbands that are reflections of their own father. Men who are honorable and noble. Men who work hard to care for and provide their needs and the needs of their children and children yet to come. In summary, what a father means to me is sacrificial love. That is what I have experienced from both my father and my husband. For me, a father is a reflection of God the Father, unwavering, faithful, protector, teacher, honorable, noble, loving, humble, trustworthy, present, giving, serving, provider, safe, stable, pursuing, lover of my soul. Now, think about the pressure that puts on me now. When I read that last sentence, I said, whoa. And, you know, the Bible only says I got to love you. It does say that. Husband loves your wives as Christ loves the church. And this last thing, she wrote this in 2002. I never knew this, and she showed it to me, and it seemed very, you know, I think she gave it to her dad for Father's Day in 2002, or maybe for his birthday. It's called Daddy. It seems so very long ago when Daddy was so tall. I remember looking up at him and feeling very small. I knew he was invincible. No harm could make its way near this little girl. His life for mine, he'd pay. He wiped my tears away when neighbor kids were mean to me. He taught me the golden rule and how to have integrity. Precious are the memories of nature talks and trails and time spent in Daddy's lap hearing his boyhood tales. Every year at Christmas time, Daddy read how God in heaven came to earth, born in the flesh, the redemption of all men. My dad's a lot like Jesus. With quiet strength, he took life's cross. In humble love, he spent himself, never mentioning dreams he lost. That's from Amelia. So, what I want to impress on you today with what I've shared is that, you know, I know, like I said at the beginning, everyone has a father. Now, you may not have the same experience that I had, but you had an experience with a father. And it may not have been the greatest one, and it may not have been, a loving one. But, like I said, everybody in this place has a father who truly, 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 I don't know how many times I can say truly, loves you. And that is what I want to try and impress on you today, is that with the Father's love that he has for us, there's no need to fear, there's no need to regret, there's no need for anything other than to be loved and to love others. And that is one thing I hope you take with you today and you share with someone. If you see a father and you just, I like yesterday, we were in Kmart. Don't tell Mike that. We were in Kmart. We were in Kmart buying some printer ink, and we came up to the cashier, and we were already talking bad about Kmart because Kmart's slow where we're at. It's just one cashier. But actually, they had two cashiers, and I said, wow, we just went right up to the cashier. She was there, and we got some Diet Cokes and all that. And as I was leaving, she says, Happy Father's Day. And I turned around, thank you. And more people need to be that way. I never met this woman, but that is the first time anyone behind a register had ever been so friendly. Not, you know, there are friendly people, but to say Happy Father's Day. That was quite wonderful. And I have a couple of things. This is a little joke I found on the internet. There was this father who had a 3-year-old daughter who was having trouble sleeping through the night. She'd often wake up several times in the night because she was afraid. Each time he retucked her into the bed, he would remind her that Jesus was with her and he would keep her safe. Several nights in a row, she did this over and over again. Finally, one night, the dad asked her if she had prayed to Jesus to take her fear away and help her fall asleep. She goes, oh, yes, she assured him. I prayed to Jesus, and he told me to come get you. And the last, this is more comical than probably maybe. This is from Bill Cosby. I think all of y'all know Bill Cosby. If the new American father feels bewildered and even defeated, let him take comfort from the fact that whatever he does in any fathering situation has a 50% chance of being right. So, thank you for letting me speak today. I know it's short. I can't take 4 little scriptures like Don does and like spread it out to an hour and a half, maybe. I just can't do that. I don't know how he does it, but and don't tell him I said that, even though he'll probably hear it on the internet. So that's the best I can do. That's the length of time. That's pretty short, but let me close in prayer and again, hope you have a great Father's Day and spiritual Father's Day. I know Keith has been a great spiritual father to my daughters, and they all love him. So, Father, thank you for this day in recognizing the fathers that you've created for the families that you've given them to. But we know we should always be thankful that you are a father of unconditional love, of always loving us unwavering. There is nothing that can stand between us. And sometimes the only thing that stands between you and us is ourselves. So, Father, this day, I pray for everyone here that feeling that they feel that they're separated from you, it be gone. That you show them your true fatherly love that you have for everyone. And that you have for not only us, but for everyone in this world. And Father, plant that seed again of love in our heart so that we may show that love to people that we meet every day by just a word of how are you and have a great day. So Father, we just thank you. I just thank you for giving me the privilege of speaking today and hope these words were encouraging to someone here as they were to me. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I'm sorry. One last thing. And I saw this, because I drive around a lot in my vehicle. And I saw this in the back of a pickup truck. And it's just like, wow. Because when I read it, sometimes we're always thinking about our past. I always think about our past. I brought up my past just today. I try and forget that stuff because I know I can't change it. I can't make it any better. So I just try and forget it. But I saw it on the back of a pickup truck. It was this quote. And it was on his bumper. He says, "Don't let the devil get you down because of your past. Or don't let the devil get you down because of your past. Remind him about his future. So thank you.